Let me pray once more. Heavenly Father, we pray that you'd help us as we come to your word, that we would hear it, respond to it rightly, and seek to live in light of it in our day-to-day walk. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. One of you ever heard or thought the following phrase, that the Bible is just not a very practical book. It's not a practical book. Maybe some of you have heard something like this. Well, the Bible, it's all high and minded. But what we need is practical things. We need practical things. Now, of course, people love practical things, don't we? You go into a bookshop, if you ever darken a door of bookshops anymore, or you go online and you're looking for books on how to do something. Or you see the very popular series of books, The Dummy's Guide to fill in the blank. I wonder if you're that sort of person. You love how-to books. You love manuals. There's at least one person in our extended family who asks for manuals for Christmas. They go on that person's wish list, and he in our family will ask for manuals, and he very happily receives a manual on technical details of something or other. And at least one of the people in our house took a child's toy manual to bed the other night, very happily, and was reading this little how to put this toy together manual. Some of us like that, don't they? They like manuals and how-to guides because they're practical. You know, if you're the sort of person that when you open up how to do something like an IKEA piece of furniture, and you immediately gravitate to the instructions. You want to know how to do it. And then others, they immediately throw them in the bin, and then they reap the consequences of badly put together furniture. Because the thing is, the reality is people want practical things. If you're not a Christian, you might think about that. You want something practical. And you often maybe wonder if a friend of yours has asked you, would you like to read the Bible with me? Or would you like to read Mark's Gospel or John's Gospel with me? You might think, oh, well, that's very nice of you that you like reading that, but it's not practical. What difference will it make to my life? Why should I bother listening to it? And sadly, Christians, us, often spend a lot of time almost believing that is true, that the Bible isn't practical. And that's a really easy mistake to make. I'm sure I've done it lots of times, and I'm assuming that you've done it too. Maybe you think the Bible's all about theology, which of course it is about theology. But you've also been convinced that the Bible's all about highbrow thinking. It's for the fast track academically. The sort of people that got the top percentiles in their 11 plus, if you remember those sorts of things. It's not for the folk who went to the secondary modern. It's just not a practical book. Well, let me disabuse that of that idea with a small lesson from history. Almost 500 years ago, one of the greatest Englishmen, if not the greatest Englishman, possibly I would say the greatest Briton to have ever lived, corrected that view because William Tyndale thought the Bible was hugely practical. He poured out his life so that people of all sorts, ploughboys, could read the Bible in English. Because up to that point, the only translation you could read of the Bible in Britain, in England, was the Latin Vulgate. You couldn't get it in English. But William Tyndale wanted ordinary folk to be able to read it. Why? Because it's the most practical book in the world. What is more practical than the message of the Bible? The message of a good and loving God. The message of who we are, sinners. The message of God's love for us in Jesus Christ. The message of how we can be saved from the wrath to come. But of course, that's not the end of it, is it, when we look at the Bible? For the God of all things has in his word given to us practical teaching on how we as Christian people can live for him. And that's what we are looking at in this summer series. We're looking at these one another phrases from the New Testament. New Testament teaching that packs a real practical punch on church life. And the one we're looking at this week is in Ephesians chapter 4, verse 2, where we see the phrase, Paul calls these Christians in Ephesus to be those who are bearing with one another. So we're going to look at that now under, I think, four headings, if I've got my counting right. So we'll start off then thinking about bear, a definition. What does it mean to be bearing with one another? Well, firstly, just let me clarify, it's nothing to do with polar bears or grizzly bears. It's nothing to do with that. Bearing, though, is a somewhat negative word, isn't it, in our heads? Bearing with one another. I was looking up the word in Greek, and it's the definition is very pithy. I was looking at, it's to endure, to put up with. That's what it means, to bear with one another, to endure one another, to put up with one another. And that might seem to you a touch jarring. Shouldn't we want to do a bit more than that? Than just bear with one another? Now, I think that's right. We should want to do more than that. And the other weeks when we look at these other one another's will help us do that. But now we are quite clearly told to do this work of bearing with one another. We're to be those who endure each other, put up with each other. And why do we need to do that? Well, friends, let me remind you that church is not made up of people just like us. The church is made up of a whole bunch of different sort of people. And those differences might be frustrating differences. People might support a football team that you don't like. They might be really excited about a rugby score the day after the Calcutta Cup match. And you might not be happy about it. So we're called to bear with one another. And that's a good reminder, isn't it, that the Bible is incredibly practical because it's realistic about life here and now. It tells us how to cope with life before the new heavens and the earth, living today for Jesus in a fallen world. Because we are, as we reminded ourselves earlier on, sinners still. We are people who are not yet perfect. And we relate to other people in the church who are also sinners. Those who are not yet perfect, those who are battling sin like us. And that will mean, because of our sinful nature that we are doing battle against, or our own sinful nature that we're doing battle against, we've got the potential to rub each other up the wrong way. Badly, maybe. To be annoyed or to annoy others. So Paul and the Lord God are being realistic. Christians may, in this life, rub each other up the wrong way. Christians are different from each other. They will have different opinions about a whole range of different topics. Our character flaws may annoy each other, may annoy other people. So what does Paul say? Bear with one another. Bear with one another. Put up with one another. Endure one another. Now, in the face of it, I think that might sound very negative. Very sort of like, okay. But as we look at what else Paul says in Ephesians chapter 4, we see, I think, a far warmer picture than just that narrow picture of enduring, of putting up with one another. And that takes us to our second heading, because we are to be those who are called to bear with one another in love. We're to bear with one another in love. Now, when I think of the phrase putting up with someone, it tends to be in my head a sort of picture of doing something with gritted teeth. You know, that sort of thing. Deep frustration boiling up in my heart, but doing nothing about it. I'm only bearing with them because I have to, because of some external constraint upon me. Is that how you feel sometimes? Maybe listening to a sermon, you're enduring it, you're putting up with it, you're bearing with the pastor, but not happily, thinking about the roast at home, thinking of something else you'd rather be doing. Doing it through gritted teeth, angry. But Paul doesn't want us to bear with one another like that, does he? Instead, he wants us, verse 2, chapter 4, bearing with one another in love. In love. So the way we bear with one another should be shaped by love. We're to love that brother or sister that is rubbing us up the wrong way for whatever reason. We may feel frustrated, but when we bear, we put up. We love those who God loves, don't we? We're to love them because they are those who are loved by God. We bear with one another in love. We don't bear with one another in hate. We don't bear with one another in anger, in bitterness. No, we bear with one another because that's what God's call is on each of us. So let me ask you, friends, when you try to bear with one another, when you put up with one another, when you endure one another, are you doing it in love? Are you looking at that person as somebody who Christ has loved? Are you looking at that person as somebody that you are called to love? This is this sort of bearing with, this sort of enduring with that God calls us to in his word. We are to bear with one another in love. Next, we're to bear with one another, and that's how we walk worthily. How we walk worthily. I wonder if you've been watching some of the Commonwealth Games over the past week or so. I wonder if you notice some of the differences in the sports. So some of the sports are about winning. So if you watch a swimming race, it's about the guy that, or girl who gets to the end first. If you watch the sprinting, last night we watched the 200 meter final, it was about the person who crosses the line first. We don't watch them and think, well, I'm going to take 5 points off because their running was pretty poor in technique. Or their stroke in the swimming pool wasn't quite right. Of course, that is helpful that they get all these techniques right. But it doesn't matter. Because what matters is getting to the line first. Getting to the end of the pool first. But there are other sports where it does matter. You notice that as well? If you were to watch gymnastics, it's all about form, isn't it? It's not about, yes, you managed to do the four rolls, well done, that's correct, A star. Or you did it quicker than the other person. No, it's about doing that thing with the rings or the thing with the pommel horse or the bars or whatever, doing it beautifully in good form. And we saw that again last night, we were watching a bit of the diving. It's all about form and technique and making it look beautiful and doing it correctly at the right moment. It's not about just doing it or doing it quickly. Well, as Christian people, we are called to walk in a manner worthy. Verse 1 of the calling to which you've been called. So how we walk is important. It's not just about getting to the line and that's us fine. No, it's about how we get to the line. We're called to walk in a way that is we're in a manner worthy of the calling to which you've been called. So bearing with one another is how we walk worthily. It's worth wondering then, how is that so? How is this negative commandment helping us walk in a worthy manner? Well, think about it. What is the opposite of bearing with one another? What's the opposite? Well, the opposite is not bearing with one another, not putting up with them, not enduring them. And what does that lead to? Anger, confrontation, bitterness, withdrawing from people, not spending time with them. It's a clear lack of patience, isn't it? Lacking such patience, such love, such bearing with people is not worthy of the calling that we've been called to. Anger, confrontation, bitterness. That is not how the Lord wants us to live as Christian people in a local church. Instead, we're called to bear with one another. Friends, let me ask you, are you aware that by not bearing with one another, you are not acting in a manner worthy of the calling you have in Christ? Clearly, that's very serious, isn't it, if we did that? We need to be bearing with one another if we're to be displaying the life that God calls for us as his people. How we walk matters. And bearing with one another is how we walk worthily of the calling to which we've been called. So friends, let me encourage you. Bear with one another and act in a worthy manner. Fourthly, and I think finally, bearing is how we maintain unity. bearing with one another is how we maintain the unity of God's people. Now, the church in Ephesus was a church that had problems of unity. If you were to read through that on a cursory level, that seems very obvious. It was a church that had issues between Jew and Gentile. Unity, therefore, is a big issue for Paul as he writes to these people. He wants them to be united. Verse 3, eager to maintain the unity of the Spirit in the bond of peace. But if we fail to bear with one another, if we're not steadily bearing with one another, putting up with one another, enduring one another in love, then what will we be? We will be disunited. We will be divided. Because that's where we go if we don't bear with one another, isn't it? Those anger, those frustrations, those stepping away from one another, what does it all lead to? It leads to disunity. We gripe, we moan, we're angry and frustrated, we despise, and we part from one another. But Paul wants us today to be united, doesn't he? Loving those whom Christ loved. So he calls us, doesn't he, then, to bear with one another. This side of eternity, bear with one another. We are fallen sinners. We are struggling with our sin. We're seeking to live for Jesus. So bear with one another. Put up with them if something rubs you up the wrong way. Endure. So when someone says something that winds you up, if somebody's character is just getting on your wick, say to that person, say to yourself rather, sorry, I'm going to bear with this person. I'm going to bear with this friend. I'm going to put up with their thing that is rubbing up against me. I'm going to bear with them. See that that person you're bearing with is loved by the Father in Christ, that they are precious to him and should be treated as such. So love with them. Bear with it. Bear with them. Displaying the life God calls us to live. See that this is not an optional extra. Sometimes we think, oh, that's an add-on, a bolt-on that I don't need for the essential package. But no, it is an essential part of what it looks like to live as a Christian. We are to be those who bear with one another, put up with, endure. It's how we live worthily today. And see that if you don't do this, you will be breaking unity. You will be putting division in the local church. So friends, the Bible is a practical book. It's a realistic book. And it calls us to bear with one another in love. Let's aim to do that. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we pray that you would help us to bear with one another in love, that we might walk worthily of Christ and might be a united people. We know that these things are hard and we need your help. So we pray that by the power of your Spirit, you would soften our hearts to see where we can grow in this way, see how we can be more patient, more loving, that we might love one another. And as we seek to love, we might bear with one another. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.